What an honor and a privilege to be here this morning.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Wow, it's so good. And I feel such an honor to be in such a church. I have known the Band of Brothers and Brother Gus here for many years and Pastor Mike. And I'm so thrilled to see a church that has so much influence through the Band of Brothers and all throughout the world, through your mission, whatever you're doing. Some of you may have heard my testimony the first time I was here for years ago. And I told you a story how I've been going through the deep valleys in life, how I lost my son and my wife, and I'd been alone for 12 years and never thought I was going to remarry. But God, he brought an angel into my life. Standing here beside me is Jenny. She's from Minnesota. I think I'm trying to say it the right way. This is actually a miracle story because Jenny lived as an exchange student in my home in 1979. And we hadn't had contact throughout all these years. But something happened in 2017, and now we are husband and wife traveling the world together. So I want to introduce Jenny to you. Thank you, Jenny. And she speaks perfectly Danish, and now she's doing the Swahili, and it's great to travel with Jenny. We drive thousands of kilometers nearly every week in Africa, and she loves sitting beside me reading book after book, you know, so I get inspiration. And when I get inspiration to speak or to say something, I just tell her, could you write this down? And she goes, she's been typing since she was 7 years old, you know, so she just goes like this in the car when we're traveling. So it's a great blessing. Jenny, I love you and love to have you with me on my journeys. I have a verse I'd like to read to you this morning, and then I'll just open a window to the part of the world where we are. The verse is from Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 7. And it has to do with a theme of this morning, a display of God's glory in his church and the church around the world. It says, "Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made." Before I say anything else, I just want to remind us, we are created for his glory. Amen? Amen? We'll come back to that later. A window I'd like to open, because I'd like to, for you to just sense the breeze that's coming from the part of Africa where we are located and where we serve. I've served the Lord for many years there, and doing ordinary mission work, planting churches, doing a Bible college, built a Bible college, and been teaching leaders. But we are experiencing something now that I have never seen in all my life. And that is, we're standing on the brink of a worldwide revival in the Muslim world. Something that has never, ever happened before, God is doing right now. And I'm so thrilled to wake up every morning and see miracles happening around me when God is doing something no one had thought about. I know many of us have felt the threat. Many of us have felt the fear of what is happening when more and more Muslims are coming, even to the Western world, and we think they are going to take over. But I remember 1999, when I was sitting watching TV in Denmark, and I was seeing them starting to tear down the Berlin Wall after your president, Ronald Reagan, had said to Mr. Gorbachev, "Tear down that wall." And when they started tearing down that wall, I was watching it on TV on the 9th of November, 1989. And I was thrilled to see the communist world come down and now being able to come into those countries. But then the Lord spoke to my heart and said, "The next fortress you're going to see collapse is going to be the fortress of Islam." And it's many years ago. And it has seemed as if the opposite has taken place. But right now, I'm here to just tell you the story of what's happening in the country that where we live. We are working together with a man who's been an undercover evangelist in the Muslim communities of Tanzania. He has a tremendous story. When he was 5 years old, his dad sent him to a Quran school where he was supposed to be the next Quran in that community. He didn't go to a normal school until he was 15 years old. Then he decided by himself to go into school. So he went to school in the morning for 7 years without his parents knowing anything. The afternoon he'd go to the Quran school, learn the Quran in Arabic and cite it. And when he was 22, he met Jesus in a dream. And Jesus came to him at night wearing a white robe. And he explains that his eyes were shining like fire. And he said, "Ramadan, you have served Satan long enough. Now it's time to serve me." But he chased Jesus away in the dream. The same thing happened the next night and the third night. But the third night, Jesus came with two angels, Gabriel and Michael, and said, "Ramadan, I'm here to save you." And he chased Jesus and the angels away. The very next morning, he told his dad, who was one of the leaders, the greatest imam in the area, "Dad, I'm having these appearances at night." And he gathered all the imams and they tried to drive out these evil spirits of him. And then his dad said, "You're never going to have those experiences again." But the very next day, walking on the streets of Kigoma, he met Jesus physically on the street. And there he stood. His friends didn't see Jesus nor hear him. But he said the same thing, "I'm calling you to serve me." To make a very long story, an exciting story short, when he came home that day and he had accepted Jesus, his dad saw him at a distance and said, "Don't come near our home. I can see you've become a Christian." And then he got some young people and said, "Catch my son, bring him home dead or alive, tie him up." And they came home with him and he gathered the imams and they started beating him until they wanted him to come back to Allah and leave Jesus. But he said, "Father, I cannot do it." And after all the imams had beat him up and some of them broke their sticks, his father said, "Bring a machete." And they put his hand on a log and they said, "I'm going to cut your fingers one by one until you come back to Jesus." And he started cutting the first bit of his finger and the next. And he said, "Dad, I'm not leaving Jesus."
And then next superior imam in the area intervened and said, Atumani, if your son, after all this, is not going to leave Jesus, it's because he had tasted honey that is so sweet that nothing else can replace it. And he said, if you continue torturing your son, you're ending up killing him, and I'm going to report you to the police. So his dad was scared. They loosened him, and he fled. And to make a long story short, for many, many years, he didn't come back to his father. 17 years, he did not come back home. But after 17 years, when he came home, his dad was standing in the doorway. This imam, who raised his son to become an imam, he said, son, I am ready to accept your Jesus as my Lord and Savior and Messiah. And we've been traveling with him the last 2 months. And now what's happening is totally mind-blowing. Imams are coming to Christ. There was 50 imams gathered in a mosque because he makes radio programs where he speaks about the Lord Jesus to the Muslims. And they said, we have questions we want to ask you. And they started asking him questions. And after the whole day, the leader of all the 50 imams in the mosque stood up and said, how can I accept that Jesus, if this is true, as my Lord and Savior and Messiah? And he said, come up here and I'll pray for you. Then the 49 other imams said, if our leader wants to become a Christian, so do we. So all 50 of them accepted Jesus. And this happened this year, 2019. Things are happening that has never happened before. In one of the largest mosques in the city I live in, that gathers 3,600 believers in the mosque every Friday, 2,500 have written and signed a paper that says, we want to follow this Jesus as our Lord and Savior and Messiah. I could tell you stories from now until Christmas about what's happening. We are living on the brink of a revival that has never happened in the world. We hear the stories from Iran, from Iraq, from Egypt. 5 million have accepted Jesus in Egypt since the revolution. Muslims. Hello? It's happening in our world. I know there are threats. I know we haven't seen the end of what's going to happen. But I believe the one who said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He is still on the throne. And I just want to encourage you. Can you feel the breeze coming in of hope? God is going to bring a revival even to our nation. And when I say our nation, I guess it's because I'm married to Jenny now, so I feel like this is my nation too. But to the world. And I believe it. All right. Let's go back to the scriptures. We are created for His glory. In Matthew chapter 22, there are some verses I'd like to give to you. I have a lot of stuff with me this morning. You may wonder what it is, but I'll tell you in a moment. Matthew chapter 22, here we have this story. The Pharisees, they went out and they laid plans to trap Jesus in words. And they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians and said, teacher, we know that you're a man of integrity and you teach the way of God. I forgot to say it's Matthew 22:17. Okay. And you haven't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not? Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, you hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax. And they brought him a denarius, verse 20, and he said to them, whose image is this? And whose inscription? And they said, Caesar's. Then he said to them, so give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God. I have I think they call it a quarter. I haven't had so many of these in my hand. But there's an image here. And if I say it's a quarter, all of you would know it's George Washington. So this is what happened. They showed him the coin. There was an image. And he said, whose image is? They said, it's Caesar's, so give back to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. But there was an interesting thing in what Jesus said, because he was playing on words from the Bible. And he was going back to the book of Genesis, where it is written that God created man in his image. So the exact same word in Hebrew as the Greek here is, whose image is it? Now, I have been very interested in human beings, in anthropology, and I like to get pictures of beautiful people. And I actually have a picture of the most beautiful person in the whole world. I was so lucky that I got it. Any of you want to see it? No, I can't go away because there's a camera here, but who would like to see it? Please come up and see it. The most beautiful person in this world. I was so lucky to get his picture. Isn't it true?
Let me see. The most beautiful picture. Ah, yes. Yeah. I see it.
You agree? Okay, we don't have time. We don't have time to show all of you. But if you could see this picture, and I ask you, who do you see? Do you see the image of God? You are created in His image. You are the most beautiful person on this earth. You are created in His glory and for His glory. Amen? Now, we are created so that we can reflect the glory of God. Here is a mirror, and here is the rays of, well, this is a flashlight, but imagine the rays of the sun that reflect into the mirror. We are called to reflect His glory. So when the glory of God shines on us, we reflect it to the world. We bring Christ to the world by reflecting His glory. And you don't have to sweat. You don't have to do a lot. You just shine for Him. Amen? Amen. Now, you know, when God created man, we read in Genesis chapter 1 that we read that He created man. You remember what He used when He created man? Diamonds? Gold? Silver? No, I have brought something with me today. If I told you I'd come and visit you this afternoon, I'd like to spread something all over your carpet that I have with me. It's a gift for you. Get it for free. Would you be happy? This is a bag of dust. Who invests in dust? Who wants to buy this bag? I sell it. I can sell it quite cheap for you. But when God created man, He chose to use the least valuable thing in this whole earth, the dust. The thing that we brush off our shoes, that we wipe off our clothes, that we vacuum clean our houses to get rid of. But God saw a value in what we think is a waste. And He took this dust and He made an image, a sculpture. You remember the story? And here is a sculpture that has a nose and ears and a mouth, hands and feet, but no life. Then God breathed His ruach, the breath of God, and suddenly man became alive. And He put him in a garden where God's glory was. And He said, you shall reign in that garden. You can eat of the fruit. You can enjoy life. And every day, when the sun was setting, the Creator Himself came into the garden to meet and have fellowship with His creation. How are you doing, Adam? Great. Okay. The sixth day, God created a lot of animals because He didn't want man to be lonely. And here was all these animals. And God said, enjoy yourself. And here was Adam. And he saw the giraffe. Can you give me a hug? And he stretched up. But he couldn't communicate. He sat down with the monkeys and the baboon. But there was no communication. And at night he felt lonely. And he tried to communicate with all the animals. Then God, he had an idea. He let him sleep, a deep sleep. And he did the first surgery in history. And you remember he removed a rib. And then he created a woman. And when Adam woke up, I would like to have seen this on video. When he woke up that morning, he looked like, wow, this is not a giraffe or a hippo now. A woman. And he got so excited. All you men and women, you remember our origin? Where do you come from? Dust. All the women, could you tell the men here you come from dust? Just remind us. But when God created a woman, he didn't repeat himself. Women are made of a better material than men. You men, tell the woman beside you, you come from a rib. Better quality. Well, okay. Hebrews 1:3, the sun is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. You know, God wanted to show his glory. And he was in the garden. And the people were surrounded by his glory. They had fellowship. This is the ultimate lifestyle. But something happened. And the Bible tells us in John 10:10 that Satan, who is a thief, he's come to steal and to destroy and to kill. And what happened to this wonderful fellowship in that garden? Sin entered. And when sin entered, the plan of God was destroyed. And man was dismissed or expelled from the garden. We're expelled from the presence of God. We're now living a life without the glory of God. You know that? And this was a very sad story. And from that very moment, I believe that man ever since has had a longing to come back to that position of glory. And maybe the Creator himself longed for that more than man. Because he had created us for fellowship. There was this old church father called Augustine. He said that man is created with a void inside himself that only God can fill. And here we are, deported from the glory of God, living without his presence and longing to come back. And since then, man has tried all means to come back to God. But there was a ditch, there was a gap, there was a distance that no man could fill. And we turn to religion. I usually say every religion is the same, because I don't consider Christianity as a religion. That's the life of God. But we try building bridges over this gap by doing good deeds, by being as righteous as we can, praying many times a day, maybe fasting and doing a lot of things. But when God said that man's efforts were useless, we could not bridge the gap, then he built a bridge that is called the cross. Amen? And that cross bridged the gap between man and between human beings. And God did this because he wanted us to come back into the glory of God. He wanted us to have fellowship with him. So God is longing for us. He's longing for you and I. He wants fellowship with us. He wants us to experience the glory of God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23 that we come all have sinned and come short of the glory. The glory has been robbed from us. But he wants to bring back the glory. And you know what happened when Jesus came? We read in John 1:14. I love this verse. It's such, wow. It's one of the best verses in the Bible, I think. We have here John about the incarnation. It says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Jesus became a man. He came here to be with us. And then it says, we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. We have seen it. We have tasted it. Since Jesus came, man can experience the glory of God. And if you once have experienced the glory, you'll never be satisfied with anything else. You know that? I have a story to tell. My parents were missionaries in China. And before I was born, my brother Paul, he was 4 years old, and he knew that his mom loved coffee. So he said, I'm going to make mom happy. And he went out and got a bowl full of coffee beans and came into the kitchen very enthusiastic. He said, Mom, I got your favorite coffee beans. And she took this bowl and went to the grinder. And then she smelled this something different about these beans. And she said, Paul, where did you get the beans? Oh, I just followed the goats and picked them up. They looked like coffee beans. But if you've tasted real coffee, don't go there. If you've seen the glory of God, you won't be satisfied with the droppings from the goats. If you've seen His presence in your life, that's what you want. And I believe the world around us is looking for some people who can reflect His glory and bring His life to people around us. And that's what we are created for. As the fish are created to live in water, and the birds are created to fly in the skies, we are created for His glory. If you take a fish out of the water, throw it up in the air and say, fly, it won't happen. If you take the birds down from the skies and put them underwater, you know what will happen. If you take man out of the glory of God, spiritually he will be dead. We need to come back to the glory, to the right element where we can thrive. And that's being in His glory. And that's what God has called us to be as Christians, to reflect His glory, to be a radiance of Jesus Christ. Would you like to be that? I believe that He's calling us today to do this. And God, I remember reading about Moses in Exodus chapter 33. At one time, he was so desperate, he said to God, show me your glory. And God said, you remember what he said? This was actually a prophecy about Jesus when he told him, there is a place near me. Stand on the rock. You remember that story? Exodus 33:18 and 33:21. There is a place near me. And that place, I believe, is Calvary. And when we come to that place near Him and experience His forgiveness and His overwhelming grace, then we can experience His glory again. So God is calling us today. And I believe the world is more desperate than ever. And they're so tired of everything else they have, they need to see glimpses of His glory. Sunday today, there is a week ahead of us. What a challenge and what a privilege to be able to live our lives just showing the glory of God. And people would come and say, I see there's something you have. Can you tell me what it is? And we share and reflect the glory of Jesus Christ. I just want to close by saying, when God looks at us, He sees values. I have a piece of paper here. I know it's just paper. Man was created in His image for His glory. Satan comes and he wants to destroy the value that God has put in man. And he steals. And he destroys. And he throws away.
And he tries to kill us spiritually.
Now, this piece of paper, I believe after this procedure, has no value anymore. Is it true? You think this piece of paper still has value? But it's just a piece of paper. Someone trod on it. You know, even after Satan has tried to destroy your life, Jesus sees the same value in you. He loves you just as much, no matter what happened. And let me tell you, your past shall not determine your future. Whatever happened, whatever he did to you, whatever went wrong in your life, whatever you lost, God is saying you're still the most valuable, the pearl of great price. You're worth more than all the gold in the world. You are worth everything. And there are some of us who have been through turbulences in our lives. We thought that we lost our value. We thought that it was finished, that Satan had tormented us. But Jesus came and he found us. And he said, I love you and I'll lift you up and I'll let you have a new beginning. And this is the great thing about the gospel, you know. He gives us all chances, even if we failed 1, 2, 3, or 100, or 700 times or whatever. He still loves us. And he's here this morning to give you a new opportunity to live again. A new opportunity to shine again. A new opportunity to reflect his glory. Can we stand as I want to pray for you? I get so thrilled. And remember, if you knew me 10 years ago, you would never see a smile on my face. I was beaten down after I lost my son and then my wife, and I couldn't survive. I thought life was over. I thought I'd never be able to smile. I thought I'd never be able to stand before people and say something. But he came and found this piece of paper that was crumbled. He found this guy who was totally down, and he started to lift me up. And today I can be enthusiastic, preaching the gospel and saying, yes, Jesus is my Savior and my Lord, and I want to reflect him to the world. Can I pray for you where you are? No matter what you've been through, no matter how many times Satan has tried to knock you down and steal from you and spoil and destroy, even if you have gone through so many difficult times, you lost the loved one, you went through divorce, you lost your job, your company went bankrupt, you had to leave your house, no matter what has gone wrong in life, he who said, I love you, he's here to embrace you and to lift you up this morning. So Father, I just want to pray, and I want to thank you that you don't count us out when we fall down, when we lose, when Satan tries to steal and destroy and kill. Thank you that you still give us a second chance, or a third, a fourth, or as many as we need. Thank you that your power lifts us up and transforms our lives. And I want to thank you for the grace of God this morning that is so different from anything in this world. And I want to thank you that you are able to recreate the life of Christ in us. And I ask for forgiveness where we failed. And I ask into the realm of your glory, so we can represent your glory in your body worldwide today. I bless you in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated.